And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you choose if you can't listen live overnight. Sad day yesterday. A lot of celebrity deaths. You had Cindy Williams from Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
She apparently had a short illness. Wasn't disclosed what it was. 75 years of age. I was just doing some research on it. I went, Laverne and Shirley. I mean, Happy Days I saw. And then I remember Laverne and Shirley being on Happy Days. There was an episode they were on. Forgot who they were dating. They were dating somebody. I just remember that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got their own series. They were on from like 76 to 83. I didn't know they were on that long. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah.
They were on a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael McKean is the only one who's alive from the main staff.
Everybody, the four main players. Yeah.
And the only thing I remember from Laverne and Shirley is the opening song, and the glove going through the beer production line on top of a bottle.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And the, I don't know who the actor was who played Carmine, where he would always sing, I've gone from rags to riches.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I couldn't tell you one episode of the show what it was about. You know, like Happy Days, I could.
Yeah.
I remember. And then the only one I really remember well is the one that you and I always talk about, where it was the presidential election and Fonzie was supporting Ike, Eisenhower, and his speech. I like Ike. My bike likes Ike. I both remember that.
Yeah,
but that was sad. Then Lisa Loring, who played Wednesday on the original Wednesday on the Addams Family, I'm telling you, her friend. It was like they said, her friend said she died from smoking and high blood pressure. I was like, whoa, that's blunt. And it's so funny because so many celebrities, when they die, it's like no cause was listed. This friend comes out. She died from smoking and high blood pressure.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. And to me, Adam's Family was, she really didn't have great, roles in it. She was
extremely
young, but John Astin playing Gomez was just
he was funny. His smile was funny
when they would blow up the trains.
Yeah,
him and Uncle Fester go up and blow, and the look on his face. And I went, wow, they really figured out that he's 14 years old. And that excitement of being able to blow up your model train without any consequences.
Yeah.
To it.
they've done a new take. I haven't seen it. My wife has. She said it's pretty good. The show's called Wednesday, so it's about Wednesday Adams and the Adams Family.
A friend
Tim Burton.
A friend of mine told me she was watching it. I as senator. She goes, yeah, I've watched that new show.
It's on Netflix. Yeah.
So I haven't seen it.
I saw one scene as I was walking through the room. There was one scene involving a swimming pool. Honestly, 15 seconds maybe at the most. But I'll take my wife's word for it. I don't have the time right now to pick up a new series, but they say it's doing pretty well.
And then Bobby Hull, the great Chicago Blackhawk, who died yesterday, 84 years of age.
Yeah.
And he had some controversies afterwards. I think he was one of the – I'm paraphrasing here, but I know I'm accurate on it, where he had the comment on Hitler. Well, you know, he did a lot of – you know, he did a lot of really good things. He just went too far. Probably not what you should have said against Hitler. And then there were the, you know, abuse allegations he had on on a few of the I think one of, I don't know which wife it was or a girlfriend or whatever, but I remember that was out there. But I do remember one story that he told that was just great. And this is when he was playing for the NHL and the NHL just, you know, he didn't think he was being well paid enough, but the World Hockey Association was coming after him to jump. They wanted Bobby Hull. And so he just didn't want to bother with them. He didn't want to go. He wasn't happy with what he was making, but he just figured there was nowhere else to go, and he wasn't going to go anywhere else.
Right.
So he just said they came, kept coming after him. He goes, yeah, well, then tell them if they pay me $1 million, I'll go. They paid him $1 million. He had to go. I always loved that story. It's like, oh, just, all right, just tell them I'll go for $1 million, thinking it would never in a million years happen. They actually went to some of the owners of the World Hockey League, of the other teams, to get them to pitch in order to pay Hull.
Yeah, right.
So that was, but just a.
It's like we've joked about being consultants. Yeah, if you pay us $1 billion and then all of a sudden we get a call, hey, listen, we'd like to pay you that $1 billion. I would actually go, yeah, don't really think so, because I think about all the mess. I think about all the messes you would have to get in. Number one, when would you have the time to spend any money? And number two, all your money would go to lawyers after you became a consultant, because you'd be testifying all the time. And so, yeah.
You know, I had one instance sort of like that in the radio business. There was one, this place wanted to bring me out. I didn't want to go. It's like, it was just too far. I didn't want to. And so, but I went on the interview anyway, cause I knew a couple of the people, the consultants that had, you know, said, you know, you want to hire this guy. And I'm like, I don't want to go. I didn't know it, but I had, you know, I was talking to another friend consultant of mine. I had no idea he was related to this station, that he knew the people, and he filled them in on everything that it would take to get me. And I just figured they would never do it, you know, but I didn't tell them that. I never approached them with it. They just gave me the first offer, and it was way above what I ever thought I could ever make. And thank God I had my sunglasses on, because they gave it to me outdoors. We were having lunch outdoors and the sun was out. Because my eyes were popping out of my head. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't refuse it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't here. I want to make that clear. wasn't here at this job.
Yeah.
No. It just, but I that happened to me one time. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't think that was going to happen. Because I was already, they're not going to do it. And that's probably, you know, one of the few pleasant surprises that anybody ever gets in any industry, where you're like, oh, so they're paying me, they want to pay me more than I even think I'm worth.
Well,
it's always, you know, a great moment.
I was thinking about this recently with a friend of mine who is in a very high position. But in that career field, it is common. In fact, everybody, you know, since the beginning of time, you're looking to get that next promotion, go to that next level, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. And now he's at the top and it's a mess. And I'm thinking to myself, again, maybe all the money in the world may not be worth it. And I don't mind saying on the air, and because I haven't talked to him about this, but it's Raul Ortiz, who is the chief of the United States Border Patrol at the moment.
Yep.
And I'm sure that, you know, he can spell out all the problems they're dealing with, and he has. Once recently in a deposition for the Attorney General of Florida. But you, it's one of those, you got to be careful what you ask or strive for, right? And you work to get to the top, and all of the men and women in the Border Patrol, you know, you're looking to get that next pay upgrade. You're looking to get that next, you know, elevation in status and rank and all of that to, you know, to move up the ladder as what you're designed to do. You do things better, you stay longer, and you make a career out of it, and your passion drives you to that point. I haven't talked to Raul about that, but I have to believe that, wow. It's the case for just about any job, though. I mean, if you go from, and I was reading a story about one CEO that started in the company unloading trucks and is now the CEO. Well, you know, you think about that ground floor thing, and then, all right, you get a promotion. Next thing you know, you're a manager. Next thing you know, and then all of a sudden, you're running the company, and you're looking at everything going, oh, my gosh, everything relies on me being, you know, right about these things and making the right moves along the way. So it really applies to just about any job in that way, whether it's the public sector or the private sector.
Yeah, you know, there was another job that I was offered one time, and I'll never forget it. It was like, this is my dream job. You know, this is exactly, and it was the worst job I ever had in radio.
Yeah.
Worst I've ever had, and I thought it was going to be my dream job.
Right.
And then, again, that wasn't this job. But when I came here, and I've been honest about it and been telling the story for years, and you know it, I wanted to come on here a year and then just leave.
Right.
When I first came on this show, I had no intention of staying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll come on for a year, get my national experience. You know, it's okay, I've done a syndicated show, and then jump to something else. Here I am, what is it, 18 years come July?
Yeah.
18 years come July with you.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. You never, the things you think that I'm just going to stay there and go, you end up being longer than any other job. And the dream job you think you're going to have is a nightmare. And then you have other jobs where you walk in and you say, they're not going to pay me for what I want. I don't want to come here. And they offer you more than you think you're worth. So life throws all that stuff at you and you just don't know. It's best just to, you know, but when I got here, I will say this. We knew within a week.
Yeah.
I remember that. We knew within a week. I remember because I didn't. You know,
wanted to quit.
No, we knew we had something.
Yeah,
within a week we sort of looked at each other, and we didn't know each other well, and we went, "This feels pretty good."
Right. Yeah, and it did. It felt natural, and you know, here we are, 17 and a half years later. But that is also the story of my entire radio career, because basically it was, you know, I got a call one morning. And got the job offer, and it was like, I got to go to work. You know, I need the job. I got to go to work. I got to, you know, and it's, I don't know that at 18 years old when I started, I don't know that I had any vision beyond the next payday, right? It was about a job. And
no,
I was
going
to work, and I was going to, you know, show up and make sure that I showed up every day, and then, you know, try and do a better job so that I could keep showing up, and so that was, you know, kind of the entire design. And, you know, nearly four decades later, here we are.
My first radio job, I was paid $125 a week. That, because I get more than anything, you know, you're not that old. Your voice doesn't sound that old. You don't look. That's how old I am.
Or that's how much in radio you are.
Man, that's got nothing to do with my age. I was offered that amount last year.
Just last year.
That was the last contract.
Exactly.
And I looked at you and said, we don't need an agent.
Yeah, right.
For $125 a week.
I can't do that. I was my first job. I got paid hourly, and then a few months later, I was offered to go full time. I was full time, but I was offered to go salaried at $200 a week. And at that time, I was making more per job playing music. And I wasn't making that much playing music. And so it worked for me at the time. It just kind of fit in. It's like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll keep doing this. And I don't know that I will say that before I came to this job, I was testing and looking to move into law enforcement. So, I mean, at one point I was like, okay, I think it's time to do something where my career can serve other people in a different way. And then I got this job and it was like, there's no way they're going to have to drag me out of here. I'm not going to leave.
I remember this radio interview. Mm-hmm. I went for a job and minimum wage was $4 an hour.
Right.
And they said, okay, normally we would pay you $4 an hour,
mm-hmm.
but you've got a lot of experience and the kind of experience that we like, and we think you'd be an asset to this company, so we'll pay you $4.10 an hour.
Ah, $4.10. Well,
I took the job, and eventually I became station manager of that station, and that's where I started my – if I hadn't taken that job, if I had been insulted by that, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, because that's the job where I ended up becoming station manager a few years later, and I ended up doing talk radio.
Yeah.
Being forced to do talk radio. Mm-hmm. And then so you never know. You just don't know. You don't know. You never know when you start something where it's going to end.
Right.
You know, but
like the segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one more thing about Bobby Hull and the death of Bobby Hull is I didn't mention how much I dislike his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The no goal.
Oh, yeah.
When the Dallas Stars beat the Buffalo Sabres, yes. I met Brett Hull a couple of years after that and pretended I was angry at him for that, and and he pretended back. It was no big deal.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Starting and charging system-related issues are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Knowing the warning signs that could indicate your electrical system needs attention can help you avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. Your truck's inability to crank at the proper speed is the most obvious sign that a battery-related issue is present. If you experience any sluggishness when cranking your engine, get a full electrical system check from a trusted service provider. Continuing to crank a vehicle with low or inadequate voltage will damage the starter and can cost you uptime down the road.
This report brought to you by Lubrifiner, engineering filters that are built to do more for heavy-duty fleets since 1996.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Progressive Commercial Insurance protects truck owners with specialized coverages for heavy trucks. Get a quote in as little as 5 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Leaving the light on.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, as the House was going to have a vote on ending the COVID emergency this week, Biden comes out and says he'll end the COVID-19 emergencies on May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
That it will be back to normal on May 11th. Mm-hmm. Interesting, because it was just 3 weeks ago where the panic was all there about the new Omicron.
Yeah, it was all renewed over again. It appeared as if, at least in blue cities and states, they were going to go back to, ramping up mask mandates or working from home. Everybody was unsure how far it would go. And now, all of a sudden, we've been given we haven't been given the all clear. It'll be May 11th before the all clear when we go into the officially the endemic stage. And my question is, Well, how do you know? Why May 11th?
Because you can you wish, I believe what you wish to do is neuter the Republicans coming out and voting on it today.
Yeah, because it has nothing to do with the virus itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, duh.
Exactly.
But the interesting thing was, I don't know if it was McCarthy or Comer. I don't know who said it. Well, if he's going to do it, why are you still going to have the vote this week? They go, because the president lies and we don't believe him.
No, that's a great point.
And I'm like, yeah, because he said, remember when he said months ago, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is over. Well, no, right. It's not over.
It's not over.
So you can't believe a thing when it comes to COVID, you can't believe a thing he says.
Right.
I went, what a great answer.
No, I think that I so think it's absolutely the answer.
That's great.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency.
You're a threat to democracy if you don't download our app, Red Eye Radio.
Well, that just reminded me of something, the threat to democracy here. Let me find the story. It just... California loses on medical censorship. A federal judge blocks a law that punishes doctors for misinformation. Wall Street Journal had it. This is one of their editorial board, basically editorials, which is a news story. Mm. We've often said it. To me, the Wall Street Journal does news stories in their editorials.
Right.
That a lot of people don't cover in
right.
depth.
Right.
But it's like Newsom boasts that California is a land of the free, yet courts keep going after him for violating individual liberties. Federal judge did so again last week in enjoining a new state law that threatened to punish doctors accused of so-called, quote, COVID misinformation, end of quote. Democrats last year passed legislation empowering the state medical board to discipline doctors licensed in a state. In the state who disseminate misinformation or disinformation that contradicts the contemporary scientific consensus or is contrary to the standard of care. The law's goal is to enforce a public health mindset among doctors and silence dissenters. But as the federal judge William Shubb explains, the law's definitions of misinformation and contemporary scientific consensus are unconstitutionally vague under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. Doctors have no way of knowing with COVID how the law will be applied by the board or interpreted by the courts, which chills their practice of medicine. Quote, the judge says, who determines whether a consensus exists to begin with? If a consensus does exist, among whom must the consensus exist? I love this. For example, practicing physicians or professional organizations, medical researchers, public health officials, or perhaps a combination. He also asks what sources doctors should consult to determine the consensus. Mm. The state argued that while scientific consensus can sometimes be difficult to define, there is clear consensus on certain issues such as that applies that apples contain sugar, measles is caused by a virus, and Down syndrome is caused by a chromosome abnormality. True, but that isn't what the state's medical enforcers really have in mind. Under the law, doctors could be punished for contradicting the public health statements on COVID vaccines for children or booster shots. As the judge notes, and this is the key to the whole thing. COVID, quote, is a disease that scientists have been only studying for a few years, about which scientific conclusions have been hotly contested and a quote, quickly evolving area of science that in many aspects eludes consensus, end of quote.
Hmm.
He also points out that in COVID, that the so-called consensus has developed and shifted, often within mere months.
Yeah.
Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. He adds, certain conclusions once considered to be without the scientific consensus were later proved to be false, or to be considered within the scientific consensus were later proved to be false. The elite consensus to close schools to prevent virus transmission is a case in point. Judge, remember, this is only, I think this is a temporary restraining order on it. But he put wire. This is a restraining order on it until it actually goes.
Right.
He says Judge Shrub's ruling is a warning to lawmakers in other progressive states contemplating similar legislation. Then again, Mr. Newsom should have known the law was unconstitutional, but he signed it anyway. He knew it was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Of course.
And we had stated that exact thing when you came to it. We said, wait a minute, you're talking about a disease which is relatively new, which has only been studied, and which a consensus, a number of times we've been told this is the consensus and this is, you know, what the disease is, and we found out it was not.
Mm-hmm.
We found out still an evolution, and each shot is different. I was reading some really interesting research, you know, about the first COVID shot versus the booster.
Mm-hmm.
And stating that because of how the vaccine works, that you are still, if you've gotten all the shots and the boosters, you're still more protected from the original Wuhan virus than you are the latest Omicron. And so the point is, each one is different, and as we know, we were first told. And this is where there has to be investigation as to where that came from, that the vaccine prevented transmission.
Right.
And there's never any research really into that, and they were promoting that, and the CDC was promoting that.
Well, and there's the
consistently,
question.
Which is why the COVID vaccine mandate was based on the fact that it would prevent transmission, and that was false.
Right. And liberals were screaming, if you didn't have the vaccine, you shouldn't be able to leave your house.
Right.
By law.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is it came down to one thing. I mean, look at all the policy, both public and private, that was created in that. You get it, or you can't be here. And what was the idea? Well, you were going to spread it. And then when the science started to show that, no, it doesn't prevent the transmission of the virus, the leftist agenda was still at work trying to shut that down as misinformation for the longest time. And now it's common knowledge. There's nobody really disputing the fact. And I say fact, that it doesn't prevent the spread of the virus. You look at a situation where the left had their perfect crisis. A global pandemic. Oh, man. What can't we do? We can spend. We can control people's behavior. And we can do that. On and on and on and on and on until people said, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to behave this way. And we're not going to take any of this kind of governing at all anymore, which is why you get to the point now where, my gosh, I don't know. You know, I see a few people wearing masks, but when it comes for the calling of mandate, you have very few Karens in the world that are still doing that. Thank God. Because that's the ultimate big government play. Oh, my gosh, we've got something. This thing is as big as global warming. It affects
well,
the...
Well, come on, not quite.
Bigger. It affects every single household
right now.
And, well, how do you know you don't have it? Have you been tested? Somebody else may have had it. Well, wait a minute. Did somebody just sneeze down the hallway? I mean, coughing and sneezing.
Do they ever get to the point of COVID causes climate change? I don't think they ever got there, did they? They never connected those dots,
Gary,
that can't be connected.
It's only January. Give them time. But that's the entire approach for the left. How do you get the agenda at work in a big way? You have something big that is affecting everybody, and the moment you start asking questions about it, what was happening? Think about that. Facebook and Twitter would shut you down if you started asking questions. How dare you? We will not have this as a part of the discussion. You can't be a part of the discussion. And now it is known. There's not even a question as to whether the vaccines prevent transmission. Everyone knows they don't. But you couldn't back then, when you first started saying that, you were going to be, well, you would be canceled altogether on social media.
You know, and what you get is when you confront and to people on the left and you say, you just want to control. Stop it. No, we're concerned just about the medical health of everybody. And it's like, well, no, you're not. And here's how I can prove it. Because we know things that were a consensus are no longer a consensus.
Right.
And you're still trying to censor, knowing that this is a relatively new disease where we're constantly finding out new information on it, yet you still won't admit it, and you still wish to censor and punish people who don't believe in the consensus today, and you know that consensus because you've seen how many consensuses have changed already in COVID. You know the path, and still you wish to punish people. Why would you want to do that? Why don't you just want to know that the evidence that we get can change? I can sit there and say, okay, I can still say the majority of people involved in it initially were doing it with goodwill. But at some point, you still wish to punish people knowing that they were telling the truth, and you wanted not just to censor them, but to punish them. Well, the only conclusion I can come to is you're doing that because you wish to have power and control. It's got nothing to do with the disease.
Right.
It has nothing to do with health care. And you can't make the argument that it did.
And anyone who wanted to find the truth was accused of misinformation. And exactly what is it that your site is doing? You know, the thing about lies and the truth. Well, the lies, in order to stay alive, require and to be effective and to have the control that you want them to have, require a number of people to be involved in spreading and repeating the lies. The truth sits there on its own and never changes. It's always the truth. Why would you not seek the truth from the beginning?
And then when you combine it with these same people who have been talking about not just that, but disinformation on elections or whatever, that have been the biggest purveyors of disinformation, and actually on elections started the disinformation back in 2000, 2016, 2018, and then they pretend none of that ever existed. Jim Jordan was doing that on the Sunday Morning News show. He goes, wait a minute. You're saying that I have election deniers that I've appointed to staff? You didn't quiz the same people in 2018 and 2016 about this. Well, you're going back to 2000. Well, I'll go back to 2016 and 2018. You were here. Well, I wasn't here in 2000. Yeah, but you didn't question them, and you never thought about questioning them.
Right.
And so when you look at disinformation, my God, the longest running disinformation, which still exists today because you've still got Adam Schiff claiming that Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election. He was doing it on Sunday.
He's doubling or tripling down now.
They're still doing it. And then the Hunter Biden laptop.
Yeah.
So you find out that the people that are screaming the loudest that we need to protect people from misinformation are the biggest purveyors of misinformation.
Of course.
So when you combine that to COVID, you look at it and you say, you're only after power and control. You can't make an argument for your point, so you just want to shut the other side up.
Right.
You want power and control. None of it is about a democracy,
no.
Saving democracy. None of it is about health care. It's all about power and control. Prove me wrong by all those issues that we just brought up that the left, that's been their mindset.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
To paycheck.
Hmm. Yeah, it's wow. It's exactly what a lot of the analysis has been over the last several months. Jamie Dimon from Chase Bank is one of those who's been saying that, you know, the savings that people have, and we question that. Well, what savings? But any savings that people have is going to be gone by the summer. And that appears to be on track. Whatever he would, whatever metrics he was looking at, it appears to be playing out.
Yeah, because you and I didn't know. We were like, "How in the world did he know that?" But it seems, especially over the last couple of months. What do we have? We had four straight months of decreased consumer spending.
Right, and
it's continuing. So,
right, and prices are still high, still going up. Yep.
Oh, and now they believe gasoline could be at $4 an hour, or $4 an hour, $4 a gallon by March.
Yeah.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Good morning. It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. All across America, around the world, we are. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. All right, I was just reading this here. This is a Washington Post article. And it starts out with the word you love. Some Democrats are worried about Harris's political prospects.
Some?
Yes. Some Democrats.
Virtually all Democrats
are. And they talk about one longtime leader of a the head of a county Democrat in Georgia has become highly attuned to the factors shaping her party's fortunes in her home state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
The rise and fall of Stacey Abrams, Democrats' unexpected surge in 2020, and the enduring influence of Donald Trump. But now she is worried about the political prospects of the woman positioned to be President Biden's heir, Vice President Harris. People are poised to pounce on anything, any misstep, any gaffe, anything she says. And so she's probably not getting the benefit of the doubt. Many Democrats don't know enough about what she's doing. And she added, it doesn't help that she's not that adept as a communicator.
Well, there is that.
Such concerns about Harris's political strength were repeated often by more than a dozen Democratic leaders in key states interviewed for this story. Some speaking on the condition of anonymity to convey candid thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Harris's tenure has been underwhelming, they said, marked by struggles as a communicator and at times near invisibility, leaving many rank-and-file Democrats unpersuaded that she has the force, charisma, and skill to mount a winning presidential campaign.
Well, the Democratic Party decided that officially in December of 2019, when she ended her campaign for president because she was out of money and her campaign internally was falling apart.
It's interesting that, you know, I mean, I know she's vice president, so I mean, this is the next logical conclusion. You don't pass by the person who's vice president.
Unless you do. I mean, you know. My question would be, okay, let's say that Biden, you know, and all this is about that. Biden steps down. Or Biden runs again in 24 and wins again. And then in 28, she decides to run. Either way, the party has to make a decision on her. If anything, I'll say this. If anything, she was a more viable candidate in December of 2019 than she is now. And the reason is because you've kind of had that vetting process of her being a vice president.
Oh, yeah.
So she's lost more with her party, I would argue, than what she had back then. It's just gone downhill since she's become vice president.
Well, yeah, because when she was out of office, or I mean, when she was one of the first out of the primary, she screamed she was a victim. She's a woman, she's black, and therefore the sexism and racism of the Democratic Party is the reason she didn't get a chance.
Right. She said America, but it's the Democratic Party because it was the primary.
Well, that's what I mean. The message is the Democratic Party because America has nothing to do with a primary. So since she insulted Democrats, they're all for her at that point. Oh, you've called me a sexist and a racist? Oh, okay. As one, now I love this person, wanted anonymity, and here's what they said. Every fiber in my body wants her to be president. Everything I've ever fought for is for someone like her to be president. Listen to that. Every fiber in my body wants her to be president. Everything I've ever fought for is for someone like her to be president. What the hell did you fight for? Said one South Carolina Democratic strategist who spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of damaging professional relationships.
Wait. Let's unpack that for a minute. Every ounce of my being wants her to be.
It's
everything I've ever. But I can't tell you that openly.
I know.
Why? Since when?
But it'll damage my professional relationship because people I do business with will think I'm insane.
I can't say that out loud.
There is some self-awareness there, though.
Yeah, I really, really want her to be president. But shh, don't tell anybody I said that. No. No, that person does not want her to be president.
I just love that. So I just happened to be going by it, you know, when I saw... Some Democrats are worried.
No. Yeah. No, that would be most, if not all, Democrats are worried.
Now, the most amazing thing that happened over the weekend was, and it actually became a big story, where CNN fact-checked Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Fact-checkers target Biden over false and misleading statements about the economy. President Biden is facing pushback from fact-checkers over a recent speech that he delivered in Virginia regarding economic progress that his administration has made during his tenure in the White House. Biden made multiple claims about the current state of the economy that have fact-checkers from CNN and the House Ways and Means Committee sounding the alarm. the big one we'll go with was CNN, because you could make the other, you could make the case that the House Ways and Means Committee is run by Republicans, so it's biased.
Yeah.
It's partisan. We know that CNN is fair.
And almost balanced.
Just fair and almost balanced. CNN reporter Daniel Dale, who works to fact-check political claims for the outlet, accused Biden of making false and misleading claims.
Uh-huh.
Some of Biden's claims in the speech were false, misleading, or lacking critical context. Topping the list of fact checks was Biden's claim that his administration has funded 700,000 major construction projects across America. When confronted with it, the White House admitted that it was a mistake. He added two zeros. It was 7,000.
Yeah, what's a couple of zeros between friends?
Also took aim at Biden for his claim that only 3.5 million people had been vaccinated when Trump left office in 2021. It was actually 19 million. But remember, people, the average person only started thinking about this. He's criticizing him, saying it was only 9.5 million. If it was only 9.5 million by the time he was out by January, what was it, 20th?
Yeah, right.
The average person was only getting vaccines for 3 weeks.
Right.
At that point. And so it was 19 million in 3 weeks. But even if it was just 9 million, that's a lot.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
Right.
And remember, it was the Democrats, gosh, going back on history, remember it was the Democrats that said, what Democrat came out and said back then that the vaccine was good? None.
No, in fact, the then governor of New York promised to stop it. Remember?
Yeah.
We're going to shut it down.
They laughed when Trump said it would be ready very soon.
During the debate,
yes.
He said, no, we're yeah. very, very close. And they were mocking him.
Exactly. And then you had, I think, every major Democrat come out and say, well, we don't know if we trust the vaccine because it's
right.
the Trump vaccine.
Right.
Now, many Trump supporters don't trust the vaccine,
right?
And Democrats swear by it.
Yes.
Interesting how that changed, isn't it?
It flipped very
completely,
very very quickly. In that,
oh,
once the mandates started hitting, it was a very different story.
You see, one of the things that I forgot who was saying it, consultant. Was saying Trump needs to shut up about the vaccine and the great success about it. It's like,
it's not going to go well with your base.
That's like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. That's not a good one.
It's like, do you know what's happened since then?
Right.
You need to get off the golf course.
Right.
Things have changed. Oh, the other thing about Trump that I have to, I saw that he was with, again, mainstream media, giving exclusive interviews to mainstream media again.
Hmm.
It's like, and then you saw that he's filing a $50 million suit because he did an interview with Bob Woodward, and Bob Woodward used part of the interview.
Yeah. What did you think he was going to do?
What the hell are you talking to Bob Woodward for ever?
Right.
I just don't get it with it. I just will never understand why he does those things and then is surprised when they ambush him.
Yeah.
Or they use it, or they say they won't, but they do, or whatever. That's
right,
what he's claiming.
Right, right.
But you really believe that if any reporter, if a Bob Woodward, if you do an interview, that he's going to make that promise to you?
Especially that reporter.
Right. That Bob Woodward isn't going to use what you tell him? I'm doing the interview here for you. I hate your guts, by the way, because Woodward is not a fan of Trump at all. I hate your guts. Oh, you're going to do an interview? Okay, let's do this long interview. And I might not use parts of it. Oh, okay. Yep. Let me sit down with Bob Woodward.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down with a man and tell him my life story. He said he wants to learn more about my life story, and he just wants to sit and have a conversation. What's his name? Oliver Stone.
Well, the beauty about Oliver Stone is none of what he says about you will be true or factually true at all.
How much will be true from Bob Woodward
these
days? That's
true. No, you're right. You're right. But,
I mean,
yeah, know, but Trump's suing him because he's apparently saying things that if they're, he's not, from what I saw in the lawsuit, he's not claiming it's not true.
Right.
He's claiming he wasn't supposed to write about it.
Right.
So he's sort of claiming that it is true. You would infer that he's claiming it was true.
Yeah, because the first claim you would say is that he's publishing things that aren't true.
Right.
If they weren't.
And that'd be a defamation lawsuit.
Right.
And that would be, you could actually probably get with malice because you did an interview with him and he's
right,
basically lying about what you said to
right.
him.
You agreed on terms for that interview, right?
Yeah. So, and this just goes, oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, it was McCarthy. McCarthy sets up votes to dismantle Biden's COVID emergency. That also, I just saw yeah. that in this story after after CNN fact checking Biden, because I'd mentioned it before, but with Biden coming out yesterday and saying, oh, okay, the COVID emergency is over on May 11th. It's like, why then? Well, you need time to, you know, slowly stop everything. I don't know the specifics of it.
Yeah.
That's what they were claiming. You need to ramp things down slowly. And so they asked McCarthy, well, why are you going to continue with the vote if he's done it? He goes, because we don't believe him.
We don't believe him. Because they could abandon the vote and say, okay, well, no need.
Right.
But then on May 10th, oh, by the way, we're going to extend this out.
Well, they're playing political chess.
Right. I mean, and
they want now the Democrats can sit there and say, well, no, we're not going to vote. We're not going to vote to get rid of the emergency because he's already done it. So they're right. playing political chess here. Mm-hmm. Well, the only reason I voted against it was because Biden's already said he's getting rid of it. So obviously it was political. It was a political chess game going on. And I thought it was McCarthy's response was great. Well, why would you be holding the vote anyway if it's going to end on May 11th? Because he lies and we don't believe him.
Right.
Okay.
There's no way to dispute that.
No.
There isn't.
No.
There's just zero reason to trust him.
It's like that was actually good.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The Inflation Reduction Act has money in it to upgrade the nation's electric power grid, and within that investment,
there's a significant investment in rural electric cooperatives.
And Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has just announced another in a series of those investments. This time, it's $613 million in loans to help 64 rural electric providers in 26 states to modernize their grids, produce cleaner energy, and install smart grid technology. Of those kinds of rural electric projects, Secretary Vilsack has said many times,
this is going to result not just in additional jobs, not just in cleaner energy. It's also going to result in lower utility costs for Americans living in rural places.
Vilsack said we can expect more energy-related funding announcements in the coming months. The Inflation Reduction Act has a total of $12 billion for USDA to use to expand clean energy and transform rural energy production. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you'd like to get in, did you see this? This is fascinating.
Mm.
That the U.S. Population Center is on track to take a southern turn for the first time in the history of the republic. In 2022, the South outgrew other regions by more than 1 million people, with births outpacing deaths and domestic and international migration, according to the U.S. Census Bureau population estimates. The Northeast and Midwest lost residents, and the West grew by 153,000 people. The West would have lost population if not for immigrants and births outpacing deaths. Comparatively, though, the South grew by 1.3 million new residents. Wow.
Hmm.
Six of the 10 states with the biggest growth in the last year were in the South. Texas, in this order, Texas, Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia. According to the Associated Press, experts say...
Some experts say.
Experts say the migration has to do with housing affordability, lower taxes, the popularity of remote work, and baby boomer retirement. Said one retiree who retired early, 56 years of age, moved from California to Florida. You're in better financial shape in terms of prices here, but there are more expenditures to maintain property. I don't know what he meant by that. They don't go into details on it. Well, because you're allowed to use water.
Oh, well.
Okay. You're allowed to use water on your lawn.
Right.
No, I don't know if that's the reason why. I'm just assuming.
That could be one of the reasons,
yeah,
right?
What would the expenditures be? Well, I got a bunch of friends. I mean, I know so many people that I originally grew up with in New York or in Florida. You know, and they're most are around, you know, near or at retirement age.
Right.
And they've all, but as Seinfeld said, that's, you know, that's where you go to die. It's
Florida. It's, yeah. What do they call it? God's waiting room?
Seinfeld said that or something like that. Didn't he do?
I think so. He made a joke somewhere along that, but it's been repeated over the years. Yeah. But a huge retirement drive, you know, basically to move to the South. But Florida's been a huge, huge retirement state for a long time.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Hey Gen Z, talking to you. Did you know that HIV is still a problem in the U.S.? Did you know that HIV is not the same as AIDS? Did you know that all genders are vulnerable to HIV? Did you know that current treatments for HIV can prevent the disease from progressing and prevent transmission to others? Did you know that when HIV is undetectable, it is also untransmissible? Did you know that 21% of new HIV cases in the U.S. occur among those ages 13 to 24? Now you know. Get the facts about HIV and get tested. Everyone should get tested at least once as part of routine healthcare. People with higher risk factors should be tested at least once a year. The Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation can help you learn more and find free, fast, confidential testing near you at etaf.org/resources. That's etaf.org to learn more.
Furnished by the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation.
Join the conversation using the Shell Rotella Hotline, 866-907-3339. Red Eye Radio.
Call in and get a word in edgewise. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, when we started the show, we started talking about the story out there about the polling that's that was done here. It came out yesterday that showed that the majority of Americans believe the worst problem right now is the government. Not inflation, not the economy, but the performance of the government. We said, oh, it's about time, because Eric and I have said for the longest time, every major problem we face today is not because the government can't solve a problem. It's because they caused the problem and they don't wish to solve it.
Right.
And that's why we are where we are. And we gave, as an example, the story because we're just, you can't beat the imagery that, give an example about not on a national front, but on a state front, the state of California, because of legal marijuana, and because of the taxation and regulation on it, that Jerry Garcia's pot company is moving out of the state. They can't make any money in California, and the cartels are booming. And legal pot production companies and retail outlets are hurting bad, filing bankruptcy, and leaving the state. And we said only liberalism could kill the legal drug business.
Yeah. How many years in the making? I mean, I wonder if you went back. The first real, even grassroots calling for, see what I did there, grassroots, the legalization. But it went on forever. Pretty much my entire life. And then you get it. California, as states go, California is the poster child for legalization. You could argue maybe Colorado would compete for that title. But California, based on its size and the culture of California, how is it not going to work, right? Well, as we've been saying for many years, as they were screaming, legalize it and tax it, we said, whoa, legalize it, fine. Don't tax it. You're going to tax it through the roof, and the black market will come in this case, the cartels, and they'll take control. And that's what is happening in California, to the extent that the Jerry Garcia pot company is leaving California.
And you must admit, that is almost, it's perfect branding. I even think it's better than the Tommy Chong.
No, I think it has probably a more serious, because Tommy Chong is a comedian.
Yes.
I think it has a more serious undertone applied to it. Yeah, you could make that argument.
Plus the dead fanaticism that still exists today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you have perfect branding, just perfect. And you say, okay, that's perfect branding, and they can't make it. Then there's branding of a company or business that comes completely by, oh, okay, this is what I'm going to name it, and it completely backfires and doesn't backfire on you. The story that I read yesterday, this woman in Connecticut, She wanted to have a breakfast and coffee place. And she wanted to have some offshoot of Awake in, you know, the name of her business.
Mm.
She wanted to call it Breakfast and Coffee. So she was looking for something. Now, this is a woman who said, I never watch the news. So there are some terms that she had no idea what they meant. So she named her breakfast and coffee restaurant Woke Breakfast and Coffee. While she was finalizing the permits at town hall, another resident advised her, you better check Facebook. There she saw the criticism that the restaurant's name was getting, suggesting that she had chosen the name Woke to make a political statement. And then she said, I never watched the news. I have no idea what it meant. She looked it up and saw what it meant. But she already had the sign up and everything else. And so she was afraid nobody was going to come. But then the left loved the name of the restaurant.
Yeah, you got a bunch of activists that are going to be having breakfast and coffee every morning.
And so
they got to fuel up somewhere.
So the business has been doing very good since that point. But I just love that story. Woke Breakfast and Coffee. Because anybody who's paying attention, you go by, you go, oh, man. Because you'd be afraid to go in.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to, if this is woke, am I going to have to ask, you know, is this like going in to see the soup Nazi? Am I going to have a particular?
Well, here's the thing. One event they're not going to host is Coffee with a Cop.
Well, I mean, you do wonder, I'm not going to go in there. And
well, now the activists will be coming in. Hey, could you defund my breakfast? Please.
I love that story.
It could go badly. Seriously. Would you not just Google it once before you order the sign? I better check what this woke is all about. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. See, her son created the logo, features a fried egg in place of the O in woke.
Okay. Now I'm blaming her son because there's no way he didn't know.
The family included the logo on the restaurant's website, menus, and mugs. The shop's catchphrase is, you woke up and made the right choice. So it's Woke Breakfast and Coffee. She put up the sign in September, and then a lot of residents didn't like the name.
Well, because if it says woke, if that's the name of the place, and then the slogan, you woke up and made the right choice, then I'm totally thinking an activist is owning this.
Yes.
Made the right choice. Yeah, you might as well go with it.
The Republican town committee came out in support of Woke last week.
The mayor, and is the mayor's name Chaz?
So the Republican town committee came out in favor of it. And they said, well, the name, it may at first set off some conservatives' alarm bells. It is clear that the owner never intended for it to be a political statement. So apparently Republicans are going there too now.
Well, here's the thing. The first sign that it may be, you know, like a place where activists gather is when they're all standing at the counter. Hell no, we want it to go. Hell no, we want it to go. I'm blaming her son. There's no way he didn't know. Calls the sister. Hey, did you hear what mom is naming the place she's opening? No, what? Woke.
We're calling it woke.
Does she know what that means? Yeah. No. Are you telling her? No, in fact, I'm designing her logo. I want to see what happens.
She is a legal immigrant from Mexico City, came as a child.
Yeah.
And in 2005, when she moved to Connecticut, mm-hmm. her and her husband mm-hmm. only spoke Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was cook in restaurants constantly.
Yeah.
So they really didn't have any idea. It seems like they had no idea at all.
Her son knew.
You're going to
stick
with that,
huh? You can't convince me. You can't convince me otherwise.
He woke up and made the right choice.
Look, if the family's living totally off the grid, you might be able to convince me.
But the thing is, I know people that have no idea what's going on in the news. Mm-hmm. I tell you right now, I know family members I can go to right now. They'll have no idea what woke means. None. And they're more conservative. They vote Republican, but they don't pay attention to the news.
I'm not doubting she doesn't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of young people
That don't know what the word woke means.
That don't pay attention to the news. Mm-hmm. They have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You are in the elite of highly intelligent, well-read people.
You mean I'm in a room with those people? What do you mean I'm in?
You're in that group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're special. Let me finish here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're special. We're better.
Yeah, that's not going to fly either.
That wasn't woke.
That's not going to fly.
Oh, wait a minute. No, it was woke. That was woke.
Yeah.
I'm a liberal elitist, so I'm better. No, there's a ton of people that just don't pay attention. I've got friends of mine that know nothing about politics at all. They probably couldn't tell you who the vice president was.
Her son.
Yeah. I know young.
Is hip enough to design the logo and clearly has a cell phone. Doesn't know what the word woke means.
Yep. I guarantee you there are young people that have no idea what's going on in the news at all. Okay. Whatsoever.
All right. Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. Yeah.
But no, the son was 23 years old.
Yeah.
So, no, I tell you right now, there are people that have no idea what's going on. Young people that have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I won't ever believe that. I like your optimism that... All that people are very well versed in what's going on. But
you don't have to be. All you have to do is have a cell phone.
I'm telling you right now.
When have we not seen the word woke everywhere over the last 6 years?
Yeah, I'm telling you, there are people that have no idea what's going on in politics. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging their intelligence. I'm just saying their interests are completely outside of politics.
Well, it's pop culture. The word woke is everywhere.
There are people that are not into that part of the pop culture.
Okay.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
If you like listening to Red Eye On Demand, we have more of Eric Harley and...
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So did I say Eric Hurley?
I don't know.
I think I did. Yeah.
Why not?
Just very quickly on that poll, they asked what's America's top problems, or what's the top problem in America. You only got one. You only got, one guess, one answer.
Hmm.
Poll found 21% of U.S. adults see government and its poor leadership is the top problem. 15% see inflation, then immigration and the economy came in second, third, and fourth.
Is everything an acceptable answer? What's wrong with everything? Throw all the bums out. And then you hang up the phone.
I don't know if they gave you multiple choice on that or whether you just picked out. But well, I would. But I, if you ask me, what's the biggest problem facing this country? Obviously, it is government, because they're causing the major every major problem we have is because of the government.
Well,
and because of the way the people have voted in this country over the last 20 years.
I would also say a close number two would be lack of choices by pollsters. And then I would hang up the phone. Look, it's encouraging. But then you break it down to the, okay, what should be done about it question. And that's when people like Scott Rasmussen go, okay, no, no, I got to go. No, I got to go. I can't talk anymore. that's where everything goes sideways.
Could you break it down?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's where the, again, you when you're looking for what people think the solutions should be, and government is a big, you know, it's a big umbrella. Okay, you know, what about government? Government's not doing enough for you. Government's doing too much.
Well, I mean, that would be on the issue side.
Mm-hmm.
On what's the biggest problem we have today, I would say envy and jealousy still leads.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.